Thank you, everyone, all three of you. This was phenomenal and really moving and humorous too at times. I feel like Steve and I should remind you about our event on Sunday, the Adjunct Action Poets in Action. There's going to be four poets: Jessica Beard, David Book, Stephanie Young, and Hugh Steinberg, will be reading on Sunday at 1:45 at the City College campus, Mission campus, for the Howard Zinn Book Fair. Steve, there are many poets that are involved, and then other events happening that whole day. So anyone who can come out, it would be really great to see everyone. Any questions, thoughts before you all take off this evening? No? Steve, do you want to address your class real quick? Or?
No, I just say, among other things, on Sunday, I'm looking forward to hearing Dave Zirin, who's a sports analyst and very political commentator on sports, talk about the University of Missouri's football team and their recent action this week that, you know, took down the president and one of the chancellors of their university in about 5 minutes, you know. Mm-hmm. But a lot of background work there in that. And so a lot of things are going to happen at this Howard Zinn Book Fair. This is the second year that they've been hosting it. And so, you know, many, many people throughout the day are giving amazing talks and readings and so forth. Yeah, so encourage everybody to get out there. The City College on the Mission campus on Valencia on 22nd. Yeah, all day long. Yeah.
Catherine?
Why do you think he struck up the relationship with his students?
Because he felt guilty. I mean, we're still friends, mm-hmm. and he works at Fortress Hedge Fund now, and I think, I mean, we meet somewhat regularly, and there's something interesting between us. I just saw that our birthdays one day apart, but we're also like working on a lot of similar projects. Like I've been working on the alternative credit reporting project for, you know, a year and a half, and he was doing research on behalf of his hedge fund about alternative credit reporting also. And I feel like, you know, when I was really interested in trying to like work with activist investors, he was too. So it's funny because we have sort of like, in a weird way, a parallel line of interest. So we teach each other a lot of stuff. But also I just feel like for him, it's some sort of window and like a sense that he could like just touch something that he feels really isolated from. And when I was, I think I just, there was this one time when I asked him this question that I think that really hooked him, which is I had started this alternative security firm, and I asked him if when you have a lot of money and you're controlling the economy, do you feel more secure? And, you know, like I asked him specifically about his boss, and that was when he was working at Chase, and he said, no, I think we are the most fragile, most overly securitized, scared, shaking in our offices with the doors locked kind of people. And then ever since then, that opening up kind of, I feel like there's been some sort of, you know, reciprocal humanness since then. I don't know. I mean, he reads all of the work that, you know, of any activist group that I work with and share with him. He reads it, and I feel like he likes, there's some part of him that wants that sort of challenge or the sense that like what he's doing hasn't stamped out a certain type of living. And when I showed him like the striked at work, he like the website and our books that we made, like he couldn't fathom that activists were like that involved in that, you know, what's the word, that articulate about his field.
Mm-hmm.
Could you talk a little bit more about Strike Debt?
Yeah. Strike Debt is a, it's now a national organization, but so, yeah, oh yeah.
Strike Debt is, it was a group of people that got together from a couple different groups from Occupy Wall Street, just as well as Occupy Wall Street sort of stopped being an encampment. And so it started as a small group of people in New York that met weekly, and it's a debt resistance organization. And the ultimate idea was to galvanize a large debtors' strike, and maybe a debtors' union, and to define the difference between legitimate and illegitimate debts. And it was sort of a lens of looking at the world after Occupy. So not that debt is the only kind of evil force, but that that's one lens to look at the economy, to look at inequality, to look at all sorts of injustice. How, you know, that that's, it's just one lens to look through, but that we can organize from it. And so maybe you guys heard about the Rolling Jubilee. Have you guys heard of that? So one of our first projects was so cool in that we bought a bunch of debt off the secondary debt market and set it free. So what that means is, like, if you have a credit card and you stop paying it, it gets sold, it gets bought by a debt collector, and they buy it from somebody who's just a straight up debt buyer. But if somebody, like a debt collector or a debt buyer, buys it from your credit card company, it's because your credit card company has zero faith that you're going to pay it back, so they sell it to them for very little. So it might be like 5%, you know, of the total value. So if you had a $10,000 debt, maybe the debt buyer might buy it for $500. But then we found out that it was actually like 2%. Like the secondary debt market might buy your credit card for your $10,000 debt for $200. And so we developed a relationship and actually made a nonprofit out of this process of buying debt off the secondary debt market. And we had some really amazing fundraising events, like basically big parties, and then a great website where we collected people's donations, and we earned, like, I think it ended up being like $600,000, and ended up buying, I think now it's up to like $17 million off the secondary debt market with that amount of money, mostly off of, out of healthcare debt. And so people would get a letter in the mail that said, your debt has been forgiven. And but it wasn't large amounts of debt. So it wasn't like, oh my God, my $100,000, you know, knee operation just was erased. It was because debts, especially, well, I mean, most debts are sort of divided and sold in small bundles or trenches. And so those, we would buy like chunks of debt that were sort of like, you know, a little bit from this debt and a little bit from that debt and a little bit. So our, I think that our average checks were like, you know, or the average cancellations were like under $1,000. So, but still, it was a very symbolic move to make. It was a great media strategy. And then after that, Strike Debt became a national organization. We came up with a sort of a packet that you could use if you wanted to start your own Strike Debt. And so when I came back from New York, we started a Strike Debt chapter here, and then that's still here, and it's very Googleable. We're still doing a lot of amazing projects, really amazing projects, actually. And so the Strike Debt Bay Area is actually the most active one now. There's still one in New York, and I think there's supposed to be like 17 others. And then since then, part of Strike Debt kind of mutated into something called the Debt Collective, and that is more of a debtor's union, especially for students of for-profit education institutions like Corinthian. So you might have heard of the Corinthian 15, now the Corinthian 200. I'll let you Google that. Debtcollective.org. It's very cool. I mean, it's really relative, but I would say that when we're talking about Well, maybe an example of illegitimate debt, which, I mean, it's all a gray area, might be how if you have a $20,000 student debt and you get a federal loan, like a Stafford or Perkins loan, that might be at like around 4 to 6% interest, and you have a, say, like 30-year time span of paying that off, that you had a $20,000 debt, but you will pay $27,000 in interest at least. That's just the baseline. You'll probably also pay fees and other things. But if you pay that back, you'll pay more interest back than you pay on that initial principal. And so then I guess the question is yours about what's legitimate or illegitimate, but then you find out that the Department of Education is sort of profiting in, you know, rare and amazing ways off of those things that we kind of trust in as being a product of social good. There's other things too. I mean, it's really, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess it's about, to me, it's sort of about the faith in the initial contract of a debt or of a credit that makes it legitimate or illegitimate. There's a lot of predatory lending of all colors, but a lot of it you know, in especially in student debt, masquerades as a part of an idea of like a good society, but then ultimately it's hyper individualized. It's really predatory on young people and changes, you know, affects all the other markets and blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, but I mean, there's so many examples, I think, of illegitimate debt that I think that my most basic idea of what an illegitimate debt is when somebody is profiting off of you and maybe you're making a decision out of fear to not have your basic necessities in order to pay somebody else that is not collecting money from you in good faith. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, and there's so much pressure. I mean, I'm doing a project at Mills right now, and there's so much pressure on getting more students and getting more tuition covered because there is so much less government support on the state or federal level. It also changes as you guys know, it changes the environment of education. It creates a real sort of state of struggle when the school is making changes to market itself, to get more students, and not focusing on the education itself and paying for instruction the way that they should. Oh, it's totally happening. I mean, there's a lot. We're doing a lot of work at Strike Debt around that, and yeah, we should totally get together on that. And actually, we all met together at this event that we planned, which I think is kind of the reason why this event has happened is that Jessica, Christian, Chris, and I all participated in, and Catherine presented at an event called No Justice, No Service, which was really trying. It was an event at the lab last spring, and it was really trying to bring together the adjunct movement, artists, low wage workers of all kinds, the Black Lives Matter. And you know, activists of many different generations, and really try to like get it together, and it was amazing. It was one of the best feelings ever. And so yeah, I do feel like we're working on the we're sort of invisibly in a part of a network that's working on all of these projects. But then Strike Debt actually has a really amazing series of articles and are working on the project of free education in really amazing ways, like really lobbying for it. And that's all that stuff is on debtcollective.org.
I wanted to ask you, Chris, if you'd be willing to just talk a little bit about the fight for 15, just because we have so many people in this room that most likely will be working at that wage or much less in the near future. If you can just maybe give them the .org or .com or whatever they need. Thank you.
So the fight for 15, we just had a huge movement yesterday. And what it's all about is it's not just for fast food workers, as many people believe. And it's not also just for $15. It's for 15 a union. Because many times what happens in the workplace is you can get paid a lot, but then they start cutting hours. And if you don't have that union backing, there's nobody to fight for you. And so what workers are trying to do across in different sectors are come together and get 15 in a union. And easily to research it is just you just type in literally 15 in union and you'll find it. It's the first website. But constantly we're having gatherings in the East Bay and Oakland. We're starting the movement out here in San Francisco. And why it's big for college students to pay attention to is, so once you get out of college, you're not, right, definitely in this type of economy that we're living in, you're not just going to find that dream job, right, coming out. And most of the time, your job would be in minimum wage or just slightly under 15. And with some people even having student debt, and with, even without having student debt, definitely being in California, it's going to be hard. And so what 15 and a union is trying to push towards is that everybody has a livable wage, and that even if you come out of college, that you know you can live. That's a necessity for any human.
Just to add to that, many of the students that are working now while they're still in school on the campus should be fighting for that as well. So it would be worth organizing locally as well, not saying that out loud. Any other questions, any other thoughts before you all take off into the night? Thank you, all of you, for participating. This is really incredible, and we're hoping that we'll have something in the spring, if Steve is willing. All right, thank you.